Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 50. I'm Joe, and I'm with my good friend, JJ.
Did you say 50?
I sure did.
You know, it's number... So, you were just saying before the show, it's getting close to retirement.
We about our
senior
ages.
Senior moment.
And now we lie about our episode numbers.
I don't know if that was a planned blooper or not, but, you know, I'm going to assume you just had
we'll
no idea what
you're
talking
about.
Just
leave it the way it is. Episode 60, everyone. I'm just going to say right now that this will be one for the records, not in that it's going to be an amazing episode, because all of our episodes are, of course, amazing, but this episode was really one of those that kind of falls between the cracks of the news cycle, so we're coming down after such a high point of news to the point where people are out there learning how they're going to sell all the stuff that they had talked about at CZone. And therefore, there's not a whole lot of news coming up this week because, well, everybody's in that lull period before the go-to convention. That's right. I said convention almost 90 days away. No,
way 60 less than that.
Days
yeah.
away.
60, 65. Yeah. It flies in fast. You know, it's a little bit slow. Oh, that's Joe, by the way. I'm JJ.
No, I mentioned that at the beginning. You were just too busy marveling at my inability to do math.
Did I mention that our sponsor this week is Hims Lifestyle Innovation?
No, I did not. Okay. I'm glad you did do that. That is very important.
Did we mention that you're going to play with an ID Mate Galaxy?
That's true. Ricky and I are going to talk about the ID Mate Galaxy. It has arrived. It is here. And it is in the 60% on the battery, actually. We're trying to see how far we can go with it before we have to actually charge it, so drain it down to the ground. Very neat object, and you will hear a little bit about that. Also got a tip regarding Twitter. And then, of course, sound off and the last word. But everyone, settle back. Here comes the news.
Oh my gosh, there's so much of it. You know, a couple stories, I guess, and one involving money and new money. We've kind of known for a little bit that the next redesign of currency is going to have some accessibility features such as raised markings and bigger letters. I'm not sure if you did ever do any of those user tests they had at convention.
I did at convention. I think I did one at a summer convention, and I know I did one at CSUN years ago when the U.S. Treasury was going around. Yeah,
they show the various bills, and you're like, you know, which design do you prefer? And, you know, well, at least one I saw had like raised huge numbers that you could feel in print, like 20 or 10 or whatever.
Unfortunately, it didn't show me where the Illuminati hides on the $1 bill. I was looking for it, but supposedly... No. Oh, is that just the internet?
Well, I don't know. Well, and here's the other thing we don't know. So, new 20 is going to come out at some point. Mm-hmm. The actual new 10 is going to come out first in about 5, 6, 7 years, who knows, with the government. The new 20 is going to have a Harriet Tubman on the front, not Andrew Jackson.
That is awesome.
I don't think she's going to be raised, but she'll be on the front of the 20. And Jackson goes to the back. And in doing all this, they're going to do accessibility. A whole bunch of women going on the 5 and the 10 as well. And by the way, did you know, I did not, they're not allowed to modify the 1. Not that it needs to be, because it's the 1. And you know,
First President George Washington.
Right. Yeah. But they are forbidden from modifying the $1 bill. The Bureau.
That is interesting. I did not know that. But the rest of the money, totally, totally doable. Does that mean that they're actually going to change Alexander Hamilton to look more like the actual musical that's currently just smashing Broadway?
Each $10 bill. That's interesting. The original plan apparently was to put a woman on the 10 and get rid of Hamilton. And in part because of the musical Hamilton, there was enough of an outcry about that they changed course and decided, you know what, we'll keep Hamilton. We'll push Jackson to the back of the 20 and put Tubman there. Like this whole big currency shuffle going on. But, you know, it's going to be 10, 15 years or more until you have an accessible 20 and, you know, the 1500.
By that time, we'll all be using chips that are implanted within us. That's how it'll work.
You know, by that time, yeah, who knows how much paper money we're going to be using at that point anyway. So, I mean, your options at this point are the iBill and the Android and iPhone apps. And that's how it is going to be for the foreseeable future, or move to some other country which has their stuff together more.
Yeah, especially when it comes to that. Where are you coming down on this whole new thing about Uber and maybe having cash and tipping?
I'm not going to have cash.
Me either. And I use Lyft a bit more anyway because you can tip and the like. And also there has been a 50% off thing going on in lovely Charlotte.
I feel more comfortable using Lyft, but it's not in my city. Uber's in a lot more cities than Lyft is in. So Lyft has stopped expanding, at least not, you know, Uber's in a couple hundred cities and Lyft is in maybe 75, 100.
Yeah, 50% off. It's a promotion that they have going on.
That's awesome.
The next 2 weeks, and it tells you how many rides that you can do. And that has been a ton of fun to be able to go out a little further than I normally would because of the wonderful pricing that's going on. And it seems like there's also some things going on in Uber in regards to the, you know, we've talked about this before, the order it and food will show up in 15 minutes. Apparently, they're pulling back from that in New York City. So that was very interesting.
And I think each city is just a little bit different because there was a couple different, there was regular Uber Eats and then there's an Uber Eats Instant. And that's what they're pulling out. So they're still kind of tinkering with what's going to work and what's not. So, you know,
there's so many options out there between Postmates, Seamless.
You never have to leave your house anymore if you don't want, especially if you're in a bigger city.
There was an article about a week ago that said, is staying in the new going out? Was that, you know, the new thing? Because but all the different things you could rent, either through your Apple TV or Netflix, all the abilities for food and things to be shipped. Is there a real reason to go out anymore? And this was a regular mainstream article. This wasn't anything about our community, but certainly we kind of sort of fall within that span of the article's kind of scope.
Sometimes it's easier.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, now has never been a better time to be blind, either in the form of accessibility print or the ability never to leave one's home.
It's not a time thing. It's a time thing for me, not really a I don't feel like going out thing. You know, it takes 2 hours to go out and get groceries or whatever, and I could better spend that time doing something else. So, yeah, that's
kind of what it comes to. Could you just dictate your grocery list to someone else and have them go get it and bring it back to you?
You could do that, I suppose. Couldn't you? This was a follow-up, just a quick follow-up to a little interview we did with Lucy. In the episode 55 of the Blind Bargains Cast, we talked a bit about Dictation Bridge, which is a project of Three Mouse Technologies and Saratech and a whole bunch of other people. And the crowdfunding campaign for that launched, I believe it was last week or week and a half or so ago. They are looking for $20,000 to help pay for the programming costs, pay for the licensing of the code that was formerly in System Access, and pay for, you know, technical support and other things like that. But they are off to a start, definitely not the same start that NVDA Remote was off to. Always figure the first one of these type of products, you know, projects, they just had so much momentum. NVDA Remote, they did an amazing job promoting that thing. And it was all over the place. And
64-ounce games as well, I think, was also another
great one. You know, that's the key of a crowdfunding campaign. I think this still has a shot, but right, as of record time, we're at about 10% with still 2 months out.
Came out from Laura Legendary, hitting her goal. So there might be a little fatigue, possibly, also, when it comes to that. So it's something that you should definitely look into if you're interested. Go back to episode 55. I spoke with Lucy at the Google party, of all things, and had a really good conversation with her about what their expectations are and what they look to do with that. Certainly as a user of that, she is very, very much behind the project. So if you're interested, head on back and hear the demo that we have in that particular
episode. A lot of names on that. Amanda Rush is named on there. Brian Smart, of course. I mean, several other. I mean, there's a whole host of names behind the product, so in the project. So yeah, check out the demo and see what you think. You know, for me, like I said before, I'm not used to dictating because it was never easier than typing.
Right.
So that's the part of it, is you have to convince me that it's actually going to be easier than typing, which it may be, you know, especially if it's programmed right. And, you know, if Matt Campbell's behind it, he is a programming whiz. I trust if anyone could do it, he could.
Absolutely. But some people are getting used to weird contextual talking, like with Amazon Alexa or some other forms of ways you have to speak to, I don't know, Siri. So it's not exactly the same as you would dictate into your phone. And I think that can throw a little bit people off. Like myself being off tonight, just not completely with it. The thing that you can actually, you know, we mentioned money earlier, you could do a lot more with that money as well by giving it to a charity. That's right. There's an auction coming up and it is for a good cause. Hundreds of items you have here.
Hundreds. And actually, this is the annual CEI auction and they've done a really good job with this. This is their 8th annual. They've raised $30,000 on the first day, which is really good. AT Guys donated an iGrill Mini thermometer and a ambient temperature probe, which you can go bid on that and 500 and some other items. But everything from this is what I like about their auction. You can get a $10 Cold Stone Creamery gift card. You can bid on that.
That place is evil. evil.
Or you could bid on $1,000, you know, pieces of jewelry. So it's not geared at just, you know, people who have lots of money, or, you know, it's there's something for every budget in their variety of things that they have. Lots of AT, lots of local experiences, lots of gift cards, food, jewelry, all sorts of stuff. So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know. It's a charity auction. You're probably not going to get huge bargains, but you can get something for a decent price and support the work of one of the largest guide dog schools in the country. And they just seem to do a really good job at promoting that auction. So
agreed. And then after you do that, brag about it on Facebook. Head on over to Facebook and post about it, because Facebook is all about the access. Earlier this year, we talked about Facebook adding pictures and captions to those pictures, or alt text within those pictures, so you can learn which ones are cat pictures and which one. And you know, you can find out which ones are cat pictures, which ones are pictures of possible family members. In my case, it said the skyline, so you could know that I took a picture of San Diego outside our CSUN window, and I posted that on Facebook, and it turned out to be a pretty good post for being able to see that technology at work. But they have actual real blind people working at Facebook.
Actual real blind people?
Actual real blind people. Not somebody pretending to be a blind person, or, you know, sitting up there and working their way towards...
Makes it sound like such a caricature.
I know, but there was a lot of that on Facebook this week. Did you see the articles about... caregivers and blind people?
No, I just didn't even read it. I don't.
Yeah, there was a bunch of social. We don't have them here in the show notes, by the way.
No, I'm not even going to.
These show up like every 6 months. Somebody posts one of these recycled articles of how to take care of a blind person that gets the white cane up in anger, and everybody goes,
I pretty much just want to filter that stuff out, because no
filters in Facebook would be really cool. Wouldn't that be nice?
No good will come from me reading that.
No.
The actual blind person is a guy by the name of Matt King. And he is a blind engineer at Facebook. And the reason I don't, you know, I posted this on Blind Bargains, it's just an article from another site. But no, this is actually a video on Zuckerberg's own Facebook channel, where Zuckerberg is talking to Matt King about how the AI feature works, and just how his screen reader works, how his iPhone works. So, you know, it being on Zuckerberg's channel, it's gotten 100,000 reactions, like 30,000 comments. So, you know, it's certainly a very, it's another one of these widely disseminated pieces of, you know, good PR, and just and not being so over the top about it. It was just, hey, yeah.
Mark has gotten a lot better at presenting that kind of stuff too. He's not uber geeky. He's still geeky in this video, but he isn't like uber geeky hoodie, you know, the way he used to be, say, 5 or 6 years ago, before he had all the media savvy kind of people sit down and give him media training. He actually asked some very good questions. More companies stepping out. That is a Microsoft story, a Google story, and a Facebook story, all within the last month, about blindness and these major companies stepping up and adding
Mark sounds
features.
Like he gets it. When you watch the video, like the questions he's asking, I mean, he may have been coached a bit, but he sounds like he understands the technology and its importance, not just, you know, we're doing this to help, you know, to be nice.
Now, will that spill over to the other stuff? I mean, will we see that with the other properties, like, I don't know, Oculus Rift one day, or something like that, where they would be hand in hand?
Here's what I think. Here's what the interesting effect I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of this pop up on the R Blind subreddit and other places. You have lots of people with interest in making apps for the blind. The problem is, at this point, a lot of them don't know what to make, so they're all trying to make the same thing, either another object recognition thing, some tool that just will magnify things, or some tool that will just, you know, read text. You know, there's like 20 different versions of the same three concepts, so maybe we can somehow pool some of these developers over into other things.
Ooh, an incubator. That would be nice.
Hey, I would love that.
Google just announced that they're going to have this big, gigantic incubator for people to stay within the Google friendly empire and not go off and make a splinter app or a startup. Maybe there's a possibility there. I am very interested to see what we have, because we still have Google I/O, which also had their schedule go up. Did you go through that any? I saw that.
Nope. I'll do it for next week. Okay. No, I don't blame myself to that.
I don't blame you. It's still a month away. So we've got Google I/O, we've got WWDC in June, and of course E3 Expo, which is kind of a personal thing for me about gaming. That's also in June. So we've got a lot of places where we can still have a lot more mainstream news coverage coming out about things that we may or may not be able to use this year.
We also have updates to things. This is this year. Last fall, we had a new version of iOS, and of course, it's still the current thing. going on as far as the iPhone, iOS 9, Anna Dresner, who was probably one of the first to write a really good really good book. That's from
various formats, by the way, over at the National Braille Press.
Yes,
she has an iOS updated book for iOS 9 and some other chapters that have been updated as well. Anna is very good at putting all that together. We have a link here to that particular page where you can get that available in many formats in case you have a particular...
It was one of the first ones I ever read on the iPhone, getting wrapped up to it. And, you know, and certainly... It does a lot. It goes into a lot of detail where Shelley's book actually covers more, like all of the accessibility features, including voiceover. This one focuses pretty much on the blind and slow vision thing. And so sometimes has a little more details in some of those areas. They're both great books.
They're great books to have. If you're trying to build a reference library or if you're an AT trainer, these are both good tools to have in your tool belt.
Now you put down, this is Voreo.
Voreo?
Voreo.
Voreo.
Yeah. So this has been that's been around for a few weeks, but AppleVis did a nice little podcast with our guy, Scott Davert, and who was the other guy on the podcast? Now it's going to make me. Who was the other? Hold on.
It's not Michael.
I can't mention the one guy, not the other guy.
Yeah. It wasn't Michael, was it? It's not. I linked to the podcast. That's the second link right under it.
Oh, I clicked the wrong link.
There's two there.
Mm-hmm. It is. Oh, Donville.
Ooh, that allows me to get coffee.
Or Donville.
Oh, Thomas.
Three. Voreo. Over at AppleVis, we brought this up because Scott Davert and Thomas Donville did a nice podcast on Voreo, which if you haven't played with it yet, it is an audio chat app, but it seems kind of like a cross between, you know, like your dating apps or your friendship apps, you know, whatever, but in pure audio form. So I don't know.
This needs to have a plug-in so it ties in with those around me or people around me, you know, at convention. So this way it's a little
right.
bit, yeah. So well, if you're looking for somebody who's features, maybe blind or visually impaired, and then it connects with, you know, the ability to locate your friends, and then you can find each other at convention.
Well, it depends what it is. Like, what right. are you using it as? Is it audio Tinder? Is it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. It could be.
No.
It could be more audio.
It could be more than Team Talk like the old is for iOS, but somewhere in between that. And, you know, that is a real touchy subject. And I don't know if we'll go too far into this here, but there are some people who feel more comfortable dating other blind and low vision individuals and staying within the community, aluminum sighting. well, maybe they are. They're into robots. Who knows? But, you know, there are some people who feel very comfortable staying within our community because, you know, they feel that some person might understand them better rather than, you know, always being.
But it's not marketed as a blindness app, but I'm sure it has a plethora of blind users.
Sure. And there's nothing right or wrong with that. Everybody makes their own decisions in life and how they feel comfortable. And as long as you're happy, that's what really matters. But it is an interesting thought that, you know, some of these come and go. I have this conversation with Patrick all the time about different apps that have come. Zello and others. There's one right now that's like a walkie-talkie app for iOS called Roger,
on Android too.
Yeah, and so these things have been here and there. Haytel is another one that I can think of. Derek Lane using in the past.
Most of those are one-on-one though, and or for people that you already know. Mm-hmm. This seems to be more social in that it has discovery. Where Haytel, it's more to connect to your friends. Like a WhatsApp is to connect to your friends. Right. You know, this is more like Yik Yak. Or, you know, one of the other services where you're going to actually connect to other people that you don't know already. So there's the difference, I think, with this one.
What stands the test of time? That will be a very interesting thing to see. Certainly, I've seen more Team Talk discussions showing up in Twitter and Facebook for people to get those. And we've used it here, of course, for years in the podcasting field. But now with the mobile apps, we're starting to see this more and more out there. So it's very interesting. If you have thoughts about this, please let us know. That way we could delve into it a little deeper and maybe, I don't know, somewhere in Sound Off or something like that. But drop us a line, feedback@blindbargains.com, or tweet us, or go ahead and leave a comment right there in the bottom of the show notes. Now, I want to thank Top Tech Tidbits and our friends over at AppleVis for actually giving us a bit more news than there actually has been, because that's where I was going to look for news today. Audio Game Hub. I actually saw this from Cool Blind Tech first, and then I came back to AppleVis for it. But it is a experimental kind of thing where there are 8 games, like casino games and others, and it seems to have something to do with Auckland. And Jay, you can look at this link right here, because it kind of goes over it in the description. I've launched this app and played around with it a little bit. It kind of suppresses voiceover, and it is one of those that has you learn how to use the app in the very beginning by putting your finger in certain parts of the screen. So top left is, say, the menu. The bottom left will turn on and off visual tips. The bottom right will allow you to do different options. You slide your finger back and forth, and you can double tap in some instances, but voiceover isn't really active. You're interacting with the screen kind of like you do with a blind legend.
This is, wow, this is the variety of games of this thing. Everything from an Animal Farm to medieval battles.
I haven't gotten very far with it. I just downloaded it yesterday. I've been too busy playing another great game called Adventure to Fate.
It's all free, right?
This particular one is. The one I was talking about isn't. But
yeah.
Yes, this particular thing, Audio Hub, is very much free. And you go and get that. And it does have some wonderful recording. I mean, it's very well produced as far as that is concerned, and it walks you through things. And there is, for those who are visual or low vision oriented, some visual cues with it. So there are actually big bright circles that show up to show you how to interact with things. You, like I said, you can actually turn those off, but it's free. It's definitely something worth playing. The RPG I was talking about a second ago, Adventure to Fate, we'd actually talked about last year with Michael Fear. And they have a third edition of that out now, which I've been playing mostly while watching House of Cards. And that's how I stayed awake through part of season 4. But it was a really neat RPG. So if you're into those kinds of things, it's that one costs. That one's like $2.99 or $3.99. But it is voiceover friendly. And you go around searching and beating up things with swords and magic and all sorts of other fun things. So there's a lot of content out there if you are looking for time to kill. Naturally, Blindfold Games has had, what, at least 62 more games since the last time we spoke to them. Yeah. I like the idea of a middleware, if you will, you know, go to this hub and then modularly they can add other games to it. So it's just kind of an interface thing and other things can show up. But take a look at that. Also, A Blind Legend came out for Steam. I haven't talked to Liam about it, but he had played with it. So those who are into Steam gaming, maybe Mortal Kombat, or if you play that kind of thing on your PC, A Blind Legend is out for that. I'm kind of curious to talk to our gadget guy about that, because in the past it was all touch screen and swipe your finger back and forth. I wonder how the game plays, you know, with just keyboard commands and the like. So that it should be interesting.
We got a lot more coming up. Joe's just playing around, whether it's games and whatever it is. Also playing with barcode scanners. And
yes,
coming up, a review of the IDMate Galaxy. And also much more. Sound Off and Last World. Last World or Word. I've done that. That's like the second or third time I've tried to do that.
Last World. Yes, I agree.
The Last Word. Something about the Final Countdown. And what would it be like if you were to receive everybody's email? I mean, everybody's email.
Eek.
All this and more coming up on episode 60 of the Blind Markets Cast.
Hey everyone, Joe here with Ricky. Hello, Ricky.
Hello.
We are here to talk about the galaxy in which we have one here at the house.
Yes, it's not far, far away.
No, it is not. And it arrived fairly quickly in a very small, nondescript box. And inside that box was a lovely wrapped up present for us in its own case. It does come in a case, the IDMate Galaxy. We have it here. We're going to talk about it.
Yep. As Joe said, it does have a case. This is my first unit like this, which, by the way, if you don't know what the IDMate line of products does, this is a barcode scanner, a standalone barcode scanner that will give you information about whatever you are scanning, such as package directions and such. And of course, helps you to, first of all, identify what the thing is in the first place. So you can do this with things like Digidyze on the phone, or you can get things like AT Guy sells the quantum barcode scanners that you can hook up to a computer and do this kind of thing. So there are multiple ways of doing this. This is one of those things that I'm really happy Joe bought for me, because I kind of blinked at the price a little bit, and it would have been one of those things that I might not necessarily have spent the money on. Now that I have it, no regrets. It's worth every penny and then some. And the good news is that you can get a
installment plan.
So if you don't want to buy it outright, you can do a down payment and then pay monthly until it is paid off. So here we have this unit. I'm not really great at measuring, but I will say that it fits nicely in the hand. It's very lightweight. It has a strap attached to the unit, as well as there's a strap on the case if you wanted to carry it that way. There is a very small button at the top left, which is the power button. And I'm going to push that here so we can hear the unit boot. It's going to continue to make this sound as it's booting, just as a sort of progress bar so that you know something is happening. And you'll see in a second that it has its own theme song once this completes.
ID-Mate Galaxy.
There we go.
8 gigabyte card. 58%.
Oh, so we haven't charged it. It came at 100%. We've been using it ever since. And about 2 weeks of general use, not like we scanned everything in the house at least three times. No, we actually just did groceries and everyday kind of stuff, just to give it an idea of how that would work. So in 2 days, it's gone from, oh no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks, it's gone from 100% down to 58%, which is not bad for pretty good use. And it was the charge out of the box.
Yes, and it has even gone through both a software update and a product database update, so that kind of sucked some of the battery out of it as well.
Yeah, so if you get one, you probably want to do that immediately, is connect it to your Wi-Fi and then start searching for updates.
If you are just now getting this unit, you might have a little difficulty connecting to Wi-Fi. Most people don't have any problem whatsoever. Some people, especially those who are in a very congested Wi-Fi area, the unit, which will be fixed in a future software update, the unit may have some trouble recognizing your particular SSID. Once you do get it connected, though, it does connect each time the unit boots, and it'll announce that. When the unit boots, it immediately goes into ID mode, which you can tell both because it says ID mode and it begins vibrating in your hand. I've pressed the sort of long button that is just below the power button in order to cycle through the modes here. We're on memo now. That's just after ID mode.
MP3 player.
Yes, this has an MP3 player. If you, for some reason, just needed to have music in your kitchen, I don't know exactly why you would use this, but it can be useful, especially with the manual that comes on the unit. You can listen to it directly on the unit, either here on the MP3 player, or there is a help mode, which we'll get to in just a second.
And a CD.
Yes.
There's 58%, current date and time, Thursday, April 28th, 2016.
There's system. So this is what you hear when you go into the system. It told you some useful information such as battery and what time it is and such. You can use the up or down arrow keys to move through the menu here. We're not going to go through everything in the interest of time, but suffice it to say that you can set Wi-Fi settings. You can even pair this with a Bluetooth headset. You can make some changes such as sharing your barcodes if you choose to do that or not, and we'll explain that in just a bit. So there are some things you can do in system.
Help.
And there's help, where again, we can move through this
introduction. To Galaxy is the world's first fully
select what we wanted. We're not going to do that though. Now we're back to ID mode. So I think that since we are here in ID mode, it should be time to scan something, perhaps.
Show you how fast this thing really is.
Yep. So I'm just going to grab...
What are you going to grab?
A Gatorade here. Okay. Now, I know this is a Gatorade, but we will... The suspense will be determining what flavor it is.
Ooh.
Did I talk about how fast it is, and then I...
Space, get him. There you go.
Product Gatorade. Thirst Quencher Glacier Freeze.
Okay, so now we know what the product is.
Continue.
I can use my down arrow key now to get information about the product.
Package size 32.0 fluid ounce. Instructions. The drain after opening. Ingredients. Sugar, dextrose, citric acid, natural flavor, salt, sodium, cy, prate, monopotassium phosphate, modified food starch, glycerol ester of rosin, one.
Oh, oh, that rosin. Delicious.
Oh, golly.
And blue number one.
Yeah. I like that the first thing was sugar. That says a lot about what, more than electrolytes. Here's some sugar.
2.5. Calories per serving 80. Total fat per serving 0 g.
Now, as I'm moving through this, we're still in ID mode. So when I'm ready to scan something else, I just wave it near there, just like that.
Frost Thirst Quencher Glacier Freeze.
And it'll tell me what it is again.
Continue.
Now let's scan something else. And I don't know exactly where the barcode is on this, so what I'm doing is just sort of waving it from one end of the package to the other, not finding anything, so I'm going to turn this over. And
product
there we go.
Farm Goldfish Baked Cheddar Snack Crackers.
Mmm, Goldfish Snack Crackers. We can do the same thing here, where... Again, this is still in ID mode, so if I want to scan the next thing, I just wave it at it, but I can...
Product Peppermint Farm Goldfish Baked Cheddar Snack. Package size 6.6 ounce.
I can move through this and look at what the ingredients are.
Flour, Nia, Zinc-reduced iron, thiamine, mononitrate, vitamin B1, riboflavin, vitamin B2, folic acid, cheddar cheese, cultured milk, salt, enzymes, annatto, vegetable oils, candela, sunflower and or soybean, contains 2% or less of salt, yeast, sugar, bottled yeast, spices, leavening, monocalcium phosphate, ammonium bicarbonate, baking soda.
I want to eat that.
There's actual cheddar cheese in it. Wow, who knew?
Okay, and I've just scanned another thing, which is,
Product Campbell's Chunky Soup Sausage and Pepper Rigatoni.
There we go. This, too, we can look at the ingredients and such on. But what happens when you get something that you don't know what it is? Now, I will say that as you get used to owning something like this, you will get a good idea of where barcodes are on certain products. You can, for example, look at the label of a soup can or a Gatorade bottle, and you know that, oh, maybe the barcode is, in the case of the Gatorade, just along the seam of the label there. And so, again, that takes a little practice.
Oh.
Item not found. To record, press and hold the record button.
Okay, so what happened here was it looked in our product database and didn't find it. So the next step was to take a look online. Maybe there's something else out there. Maybe somebody else has recorded a label for this, or maybe it's in a database somewhere that just isn't on this unit. In this case, neither of those things was true. And I want to scan this again because I sort of ran out of time here. I was talking because I would like to find that.
Item not found. To record, press and hold the record button.
Which we're going to do now. Since I happen to know what this is, I can record it and share it with the rest of the world. So I'll press and hold my record button. Bath and Body Works Lotion Midnight Pomegranate.
Bath and Body Works Lotion Midnight Pomegranate.
Press select. To envision server or press erase button to cancel.
Okay, I'm going to press select on this. And it can get now sent to the Envision server. The next time somebody scans a bottle of Midnight Pomegranate lotion from Bath & Body Works, they'll know what that is. They'll hear my voice coming out of their ID mate telling them that's what that is.
There you go. Now, there are also some things that you have to be aware of when using one of these devices, such as the distance in which you hold the object or the scanner from the object. Some people might think that they have to move it really close. That actually can be very detrimental to trying to get an accurate read. Having some space between your hand and the object makes a big deal, and it has a very wide cone in which it detects the barcode, so it actually does really well the further away it gets. Now, I'm not saying an arm's length, but definitely a good, what would you say
about it? It's probably about 8 to 10 inches, and this is true whether you're using something like Digitize on your phone or you're using a barcode scanner. You want to get it a wide field of view to get as much of that package as it can so that it can find the barcode. The other thing that I had to learn is I'm used to using this on the phone, and I was being very careful, moving it very slowly back and forth, and hoping that I would eventually get that barcode. But as it was demonstrated to me, you can actually really just wave it around very quickly. You don't want to hit yourself in the face with it or anything, but you can move it very quickly over the package that you're scanning, and it will it'll be able to capture that rather than being very slow and careful about it.
And there are different size, not lanyards, but straps that you can connect to this. There's some that come in the case as well. So you could actually put it around your neck if you want to have your hands free at times, or you have a strap so you can have it on your arm so it could dangle. It's not extremely heavy, but it is a little weighty, and that's good because you want it to be weighty. You don't want it to be too lightweight and flying around. You might drop it or flip it off onto the floor or something. It's also kind of rubberized, so there's a little bit of a grip to it when you're holding it. The volume control is at the very bottom of the device, so it's along the base, along the handle.
And it is a knob, so it's just an analog. You twist it, and it does, you know, it raises and lowers the volume.
You heard it has an 8 gigabyte card. That is enough space for the database with over 3.5 million entries on it. And that is actually very helpful. You cannot change the voices. That is the voice that comes in the unit there, Tom, I do believe.
Yep.
And the other thing that I noticed when I was using it is that it does emit an infrared, you know, kind of red-ish tint. So if you have low vision, you can use that to kind of aim. But honestly, after a while, I just kind of waved it around and looked at things just like the people do at the grocery store. It's almost the same kind of gun as if you were at Sam's and they had to come around and scan, say, a pallet of water or dog food, something that was large and wouldn't necessarily fit up on the stand for them to scan in the regular traditional barcode scanners. Now, I do have something because JJ often mentions this when it comes to barcode scanning.
Uh-huh. Now, our scan has timed out, which it does after 45 seconds. And so I'm just going to cycle back around to it.
ID mode. No.
Oops, I pressed that too many times. So I really will cycle through all these things.
ID mode.
Okay, we're back in ID mode. And we'll see what we can do to get this scanned. Now, I've actually grown worse over time at this rather than better.
Product pure and a frisky savory shreds with whitefish and sardines and sauce.
Oh, yum. That is just delicious. So that way JJ doesn't have to eat a can of cat food for dinner.
And mistake it for something else.
And also for Liam, let's see if we can do this, Mr. Gadget Guy.
Uh-huh.
See if we can scan that.
Yeah.
Item not found.
Hasn't called. No.
So here's a perfect example of what we were talking about earlier. We're not going to record a memo, but this is a beer can, and it scanned the 12-pack box. So it knew what the box of 12 was, but it doesn't know the individual can. Now, I've scanned Dr. Pepper and Pepsi and some other things, and it knew what those were as individual cans. So that is very interesting and something you want to pay attention about in scanning the box in case there's individual things that it might not recognize. The thing I like about this is that it's a dedicated unit. It's not draining my battery on my phone. It's not something that I have to continuously worry about upgrades. In fact, you can get on a mailing list and they will let you know when there are updates. They will send it to you by email to let you know that you need to upgrade your device, which is kind of nice. You don't have to use it with the Wi-Fi if you don't have Wi-Fi connection. You don't have to be able to do that, but it will make it much easier because you'll have to get the updates another way onto the device, and that can be very troublesome. So having Wi-Fi is very helpful, but it's not a deal breaker for the device. And well, let's see, we already had an update in February for the database, which is really kind of cool. It recognizes a lot of storehouse brands more than we expected. Harris Teeter, you know, has a lot of brands to itself, of, say, cat food or towels or something like that. And for the most part, at least in this area of North Carolina, it recognized those. Now, that's going to vary, again, depending on what you're buying. So maybe Target Archer Farms might be recognized. Maybe Sam's Club with Sam's Cola might be recognized. But if you have a local grocery store, say in Texas with HEB, some of those may or may not be recognized and you might have to do memos.
There were some things that surprised me that weren't recognized. I've looked at Doritos and Fritos, and it may just be the size of the bag that it's not recognizing that particular barcode, but these are fairly common items and they weren't immediately recognized. So there's definitely room to add many, many more things to the database. And the good news is that that is happening and Vision is always working on that.
And so are the community members. So if you go into the system area and allow yourself to share with Envision, that way you can get that information back and forth and upload yours and then get others by sharing the files that you do recognize. And people can actually be able to kind of help themselves until such time they have better scans. And as you heard, the directions and ingredients. That has always been the scary thing. I've used ID Mates for a while. We used to have them in the technology unit in Austin. And I used to go in with my lunches and be very scared. In fact, I know what some of the ingredients inside the Salisbury steaks are in Swanson dinners because someone brought them to work. And that was kind of scary. This might actually be good for your diet. That you might say, oh,
I'm never eating that again. I didn't know it had that.
Fun things to read, Hot Pockets. It's like a science experiment. So for the most part, I agree with you in that this is a wonderful device if you can afford it. Naturally, you know, there are people online who would say, I can do this on my phone and other things.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it really depends on how often you think you'll use this and
the speed
at which you want this to happen. If you're okay with, no, I'm cool with just taking a couple of minutes and looking for this and finding it on a device, or if you're okay with, again, Blind Bargains sells the quantum barcode scanners and you hook that up to a computer with software. If you're okay with having a computer in the kitchen, for example, that you can get that information, or you're okay with carrying it to where you do have a computer stationed, that's cool. I'm loving the just sheer convenience of this. And I could go to a Food Lion down the street and I wouldn't want to do an entire grocery shopping run with this. But let's say I knew where the coffee creamers were, but all the bottles look the same. I can take this with me, scan it, and get the flavor I want without really having to ask for assistance.
And that is a big thing because it's independence. That is what a lot of things that are out there for us are about. So this is a wonderful unit. Its buttons are very large and tactile, so neuropathy is not a big problem here. So you should be able to hear this as well. And the Bluetooth probably might work with some Bluetooth hearing aids. I've heard some stories yes and some stories no. That's up to the individual. There is a headphone jack on the unit. And as you heard, as compared to other units, this is kind of slimmed down. You know, there's no Skype. There's no crazy extras on this. And I think that actually is to this unit's benefit because that means that they're doubling down and really putting a lot into the scanning of the device. And I think it's really a good thing. I liked the Quest, but I do like the Galaxy a bit more. So if you are looking for something that is maybe slightly cheaper, you could look into the ID Mate Quest, which was the previous model.
If you want to learn more about this or get your very own ID Mate Galaxy, you can visit the Envision website. You'll find all that information in the show notes. And of course, the Envision staff are all very helpful if you want to call them up and speak to a human if you've got questions. I highly recommend this thing. I'm glad I don't have to live without it.
So if you have any questions for us, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter, or if you want, send it on into feedback@blindbargains.com. Now we have to go scan other food. I'm hungry and thirsty, but not necessarily.
Hey, there's a cat. We could scan that.
Ooh, Tabby. Oh. It has stripes. Maybe
it's a barcode. Oh, no, guess not.
Fine. No, she's just looking at the sardines. That's what it is. As you know, we use Twitter a lot on the cast. It's a great way to be able to keep up with news from multiple sources all at once. It's another great way to reach out to you, the listener, and have a conversation about the recent episodes. Or it's a wonderful way for us to be able to talk about things that are on our minds at the moment. Remember, twitter.com/blindbargains. The thing about Twitter recently, though, is they've had Facebook envy and, in my opinion, a bad idea, they've altered timelines in order to be a bit more like Facebook, in which they have an algorithm that'll select tweets that they think are more important to you. Now, I am talking about iOS today, but I believe it's the same on Android. I'm going to tell you how to put that back into a chronological order, so that way you can follow a timeline, say a story that's happening in real time, and get an idea of how it emerged. Bring up your iOS version of Twitter, and if you notice at the bottom, of course, there are the tabs there. There is home, there is notifications, there is moments, now there's messages, and then me. Tap on me, because sometimes it can be all about us. In that particular pane, you will find the settings up there, top left generally. So if you flick all up there into the settings area, tap on that, then go down to timeline. By default, especially if you've updated your Twitter app and closed it, you will be on the algorithmly fun version of Twitter. Move the on button to off, and now you will go back to the chronological version of time and Twitter that you are accustomed to. To make these sometimes take effect, though, you have to go ahead and click done, get out of this, close the app, and in some cases with some apps, and I'm not saying this I'm not saying this happens all the time, but you can never tell with the updates in iOS, you may have to even reboot the device. And I've seen that happen only once, but I thought I'd make you aware of it just in case you didn't see these changes take effect immediately. So get your timeline back in order with iOS and Twitter by going in there and changing that little switch from on to off.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Thanks so much for your feedback. Let's go to the web comments this time, starting from episode 58. This is coming from Nikki96. Talking about Windows 10 installations and saying, I need to respectfully disagree with JJ on one thing. He says that Windows 10 is the only operating system that you cannot take a computer out of the box and totally set it up. Well, I'm sure that would be the case if you build your own computer and had to install Windows on it yourself. That is not the case if you buy a computer from a manufacturer. We said that. So maybe if it got, I know we bounced all over this topic.
We did.
Yes, it is different if, of course, if you're getting a Dell or a Lenovo or whatever and you turn it on, then yeah, you can, it's already there.
Yeah, but with it already pre-installed. Now, you can get a Dell in the business area in the Vostro line where you can actually get it naked and just, you know, get that. Then that gets to what JJ was talking about.
Right, I'm talking about when I went to install Windows 10, it was off a USB key and it was not, you know, maybe you aren't going to get sound support right away, even if it just did a beep like for the first couple screens until it was able to load sound drivers. That's what I'm saying. There's got to be.
Even if it just tagged the motherboard, although it would freak some sysadmins out. Why is the motherboard beeping?
Right. Exactly. Let's go like the old Romeo and Juliet and start playing.
Push that.
That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, we're splitting hairs a little bit, but you know. That's what I'm just looking for, as much independence as possible.
And what you're saying is an important way of approaching, but most people are usually going to come at it the way Nikki is talking about. So for a lot of people, you're probably never going to encounter this scenario.
But for anyone who wants to be a hardware installer,
correct,
it's crucial.
or if they're currently. In IT, or if they're having to do a lot of virtual machines or things like that. Yeah, this is a big thing for them because they're going to run into this constantly. So it is a viable scenario, but it might be something that most of our listeners probably won't encounter all that often. So yeah, it's still important. It should be there. And the reason why we talked about it was why it's kind of hard to do that. Why, you know, and Microsoft has always had the embarrassment of riches when it comes to this, which is that they have a large legacy pool of devices out there. Over 240 million. Now I've got a corrected number instead of the one I mentioned a couple of shows ago. So to make a correction here, as I usually do in Sound Off, 240 million plus devices running Windows 10 as we get closer and closer to Windows 10 anniversary. Yeah,
you'll have to correct that next week again.
I know. And that, probably. But in the meantime, the episode as it is the day we record it, that's a lot of devices. And most of those are generally newer machines, 5-year-old machines.
If you support the top two or three, the regular, the real tech and the other sound chips, you get 95% of devices these days.
Yeah, but there are people who are going to try and get that 10-year-old 2006 Dell to run Windows 10. And if Windows 10 doesn't stop them,
then you can't always retrofit the past with accessibility. But going forward, it would be nice. And that's
absolutely.
That was the original.
Matt from Florida wrote in and gave his comment about the iPhone and why he chose it, and kind of gives us a little bit of a review how he feels about it, battery life, how it works, and does it talk about some of the caveats that are in with that, such as the display and the like, but they don't necessarily matter to him, and so it has been a good buy.
He likes the battery. Is it the battery versus the 5S? He says, he's getting better battery life. Now, part of it's because this is a new phone, and that was an old phone, but I'm sure probably there has been improvements over time. You know, he doesn't really care about, if you don't care about the fingerprint reader, which is the older style fingerprint reader, and some of the other, you know, the resolution, like you mentioned, he sounds like he's falling right in line with what Scott was saying. You know, there's certain features, if they're a big deal to you, then that could be a deal breaker. But it is cool to have another option, and we'll have to see how the sales. Now, Apple sales numbers for the first quarter were actually down, but by down, they're still very high.
Boo-hoo, I mean, 50 million units sold. Wow.
Only 50 million.
Yeah, that's about 48 million more than the number of Windows phones sold in a similar quarter. So, yeah, that's a shame. Yeah, just a real shame. The iPad number, though, is down again. And that is actually concerning, seeing especially how they just put out the iPad Pro and they just put a little bit more into the smaller iPad. And so that is a number that I think is worth watching as to what's going to go on. No Apple Watch sales. So here come the conspiracy theories again. Certainly before this number came out about the iPads and the like, there were some speculations and some articles going up saying that Apple sales for the watch were up tremendously since the discounted price. You know what? Same thing happened. I've got an Apple third generation Apple TV over here that I bought at $69, and now I have a $149 Apple TV upstairs. So it feels very much like deja vu as far as the Apple Watch is concerned. This feels like a fire sale before they release a new one. And throw on top of that an article that I retweeted out of my newsfeed that Apple is saying that future watch apps need to be able to run natively off the hardware and not rely on an iPhone. Yeah, that sounds like there's going to be a new Apple Watch this year, probably for the winter season. So that's definitely an interesting thing to look at as far as Apple is concerned. But again, if you like this, and I've been asked a lot offline, actually, should I get an SE? My two feelings about this is, where is the 5C now? If they don't sell enough, Apple may push it off the island. I don't think that's really going to be the case, but there is a possibility.
They're still selling that thing?
Well, that was your free phone for a contract for a while.
Right.
And
there's no need for the 5C with the SE, correct?
Not anymore, but is that going to be a viable platform going forward? If sales don't support it, then no. You know, but it does seem like that's going to be a thing. But my other side of this is if you're getting into the iPhone contract thing, where you get the new iPhone every year and stuff, that is a really good moment to make a decision if you want the iPhone 7. If you're fine with your iPhone right now, don't go run out and get a new iPhone, anything. Hang loose, because in 3 to 4 months. No.
The only people that should be going to the SE are like this guy. Like Matt, who went from the 5S to the SE. That's a logical progression. That's
who they made this for. That is right. Exactly who
those
they made.
Those people
this
that have been waiting 2 years and they're right up for an upgrade. Those correct are the people. Why would you go from a 6 or a 6S to a 5 or to an SE unless you absolutely hate the larger screen?
Correct.
In which case you're gonna sacrifice other features and processing power to get to the SE. So
you know. Absolutely. So definitely something to look at moving forward, and it will probably show up in articles more and more after WWDC, because as soon as that hits, then the news cycle starts to spin into iPhone rumor explosion, and then we'll start learning more and more about what's coming out.
Hey, I got a I'm looking through the feedback email. I got another person sending us another inspiration porn story about a guy that was in band, and suddenly, you know, of course, it's like a story about how he's this amazing musician. He's going for the next Stevie Wonder or whatever.
Blind Runner is the one I've seen a lot of. The one running the Boston Marathon or something else I've seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's a couple of that. Well, I mean, well, there's several people that ran that, which is awesome. This is from Adam Thomas, by the way. We'll post this link in case you want to read it and be inspired or something.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, and look, okay, yes. Blind people running the Boston Marathon, and there are many, and there have been a few. I know Jessica Beecham did. I know a few others have in the past. That, I mean, it's not, to me, it's not inspiration porn, but it all depends on a lot of these. How do you write the story?
I was about to say, yeah, it's not the story itself.
It's not amazing that a blind person ran and completed the Boston Marathon. That's happened several times, and it's cool. It's amazing that anybody, I haven't done a marathon, and I don't think I'm doing it anytime soon. You know, I would be amazed if anyone in my family did it, because I think it's a pretty cool feat. Not because they're blind, just because the marathon and getting into the Boston Marathon, which, by the way, you have to qualify for, meaning you have to run another marathon somewhere, generally. That is a pretty amazing thing in general. Not because you're blind, just because it's amazing.
Agreed. I, again, find that those stories tend to show up more often when there is a lull in news, when there isn't a lot else going on. Certainly that was not the case with the sad news that Prince has passed last week. It was horrible news to read about one of the most prolific artists of our generation passing away, and the tributes that came out about that were just amazing. Now, for the last word, I did look for something Prince related, didn't really settle on anything, but in my process of looking and kind of reminding myself of the greatness of Prince, I came across, well, Patrick, just go ahead and play this clip. Yeah, so those are Tesla coils that you would normally play around in physical science, maybe in high school, and somebody has figured out how to tune them to play Europe's The Final Countdown.
I first saw that. You know, coils, not Tesla car.
Not the actual not that vehicles. Tesla. No. Okay, not Nikola Tesla right. Coil cars. No, that would be interesting. No, it is the entire song, too, with a solo in the middle of it. And found that very, very interesting to listen to. So kind of like a theremin, you can kind of move your hands around to make those noises.
And that's more impressive to me than someone who just took like two or three sounds and sampled them through an entire song.
Oh, you know, almost like the car battery from a couple of weeks ago.
One of the printer ones, I think, was like the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Those show up from time to time.
It doesn't take a lot of talent just to sample. I mean, it's kind of cool, but to really
play with electricity and make all those kind of crazy noises, and that drum beat is hysterical in the background.
If you want to talk about stuff like that, though, the floppy disk ones are actually kind of interesting because they are actually doing stuff. They actually have like big stacks of floppy disks hooked up to Raspberry Pis playing MIDI files. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Are they, so is it's not manipulated? That's what you're saying? It really is?
No, they actually have, like, there was one guy that had a YouTube video where the guy just had, like, and you could tell it was just a cheap, crappy camera picking up acoustic stuff. The dude had, like, 8 floppy disk drives with disks on them sitting on a table hooked up to a circuit board, and he just fed a MIDI file through an interpreter, and they were just playing stuff. I thought it was fake at first. And then I had somebody
listen to some of this stuff, because I think sometimes I just assume, like, no way.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there. There's lots of that stuff.
Yeah, there was a Bohemian Rhapsody one not too long ago, Patrick. I think I tweeted it. Like,
just, oh, yeah, there was a fugue in D minor one that was good too.
Yeah, I like that one too. So there is some creative people out
for our
there.
Next and show, we'll just play all these.
It's going to be an extra. Just
no bother to record. Okay, that works.
Well, we'll be more awake for that one. Maybe, I don't know. you never know. We're 60. We should go to bed early.
We made it. Yeah,
that's how it works.
You kind of get put to sleep. You know what? Put me to sleep. It really kind of just annoyed me. One unlucky person. Although it turns out it was a staff member, I guess, over at British Telecom, for a few hours was receiving everybody's email. And I mean, everybody's email.
Ew. So,
yeah. Well, if you were on British Telecom and you sent an email, somebody, because they were testing something or whatever, for some reason, instead of actually going to where it needed to go, it was going to this guy.
Ike.
This guy, they say they manage 80 million emails a day.
I hope he didn't have that hooked up to his phone. Or
I think, eventually it was bouncing back, mailbox full.
Yeah, I would think so. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop versus how many emails does it take to get to the fullness of an inbox? Yikes. That is that is a shame. And that could be very nightmarish, because think of all the cat videos and e-bites he got and amazing parties he was able to.
Why you don't say in your credit card number 3 email. It might have gone to that guy.
Oh, that would also be. I was speaking about lots of things all at once. My print story that I have, and I talked about this on Twitter. When I was in college radio, our wonderful Prairie View Panthers, when we would broadcast the games at the radio station, people would turn down their televisions and speakers. And I say televisions because our transmitter, actually, if you lived on campus, we could actually broadcast through your television. That was really good. So you couldn't really avoid the college radio station. So you would hear our game, but people would not necessarily listen to the game. They would just turn it down until they heard music again and then turn it back up. I was an engineer during some of those football games. And I had a little pact worked out with our listeners that if they heard Prince after the football game, then don't call me. We lost. Just don't call me. I'm not going to give you the score, because that's what would happen is they would turn it back up and then come in and ask the score and call into the radio station. If I played an entire album side of Prince, that means we lost by a landslide. I actually had to replace the Love Sexy and the Sign of a Times records not once but twice, because we went winless for several years at Prairie View. And so I played a lot of Prince after a football game. So when Prince actually did the Super Bowl, that was kind of like a flashback moment for me, because Prince and football kind of sort of go hand in hand now because of all the losses that we had in college. So that was really sad to hear about that last week. It was very devastating. The Saturday Night Live has a great one. If you have Hulu, by the way, go into your Saturday Night Live and go look at Goodnight Sweet Prince. They have the different times he was on the show. And it's one of the better tributes. I like that one a lot. That's easy to get to and accessible.
I want to give a shout out to a station that I wasn't aware of, but over Minneapolis, called The Current. And they were doing a Prince tribute, like a lot of stations were, but it was doing playing all of his back catalog and B-sides and everything, and doing all sorts of commentary in between tracks. They're an offshoot public radio station of Minnesota Public Radio, with generally a AAA and a lot of local indie music format. But in listening to them, it's one of those stations like, wow, there are still people that actually do radio worth listening to. Like, why would you turn on the radio versus a playlist?
Streaming
and playlist. It was very enjoyable to listen to the people on that station. So they're available on Shoutcast and everywhere else. You can tune them in or through your Echo or whatever. So that's The Current.
What a great way for you guys to go back and find out record stores, because a lot of his catalog is not necessarily online. So for many people, they were actually going to local record stores and buying out existing stock of his music. And AMC Theaters, I think I saw Alamo Drafthouse do it first, but Purple Rain back
quite
in the
a few in a lot of indies too. Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah,
It's still going on. If you want to go see that, you can go see Purple Rain, which I have not seen, but I think I'm going to.
Oh wow! I worked in a video store. I saw it a lot, especially with this girl that I was very interested in, who was a big fan of that. So I've seen that movie and may know a little bit more about Morris Day and the Time than I would probably not need to know. Also, shout out to Byron Lee. Several people know that Byron was a big fan of Radio Dude, and unfortunately he passed away. And he was a big fan of a lot of our community. He listened to Mushroom FM and other stations and had gone through some health crises. It seems like this is also a year in which we're mentioning not just celebrities, but also very famous blind individuals passing away as well. So big shout out to Byron. He's a good fan and friend of the show.
Well, you know, it's a short news week, but I think we packed a lot in this episode, or at least we tried to, thanks to your comments and thanks to the review of the galaxy and everything else. But that's going to do it for episode 60 of the Blind Bargains cast. I am running around to shows again. Just came back. I'm going to Livonia this week, but that'll be done by the time this show goes live. So we'll say that I just came back from there.
I like that. That worked out good.
Yes. Going to the NFP of Utah convention next week, though, the first week in May, and Visions in Ann Arbor, May 11, and more coming up after that. So stay tuned. Definitely be out and about.
And I'm thinking about Minnesota because I am considering going to ACB. So those of you who are maybe heading to ACB and have some good ideas about what to do in Minnesota, definitely hit me up. I am over at
shopping.
Ranger Station. Oh, you know what? Twitter.com/Ranger Station. You can hit me up over there. And of course, joe@blindbargains.com. If you have an opportunity and you think of something that way, please let me know. I'd love to hear about that. And yes, I have been to Minnesota several times in the last couple of years, but I have not made it over there. And that is ever since, this is going to date me again, good grief, the 70s had a game show thing that came out of Battle the Network Stars. Well, they did it with families and they called it Anything Goes, and it filmed out at Mall of America. So I've always thought about going to Mall of America since the 70s when I used to watch that, as well as I want to go see the Peanuts Museum. I'm a huge Snoopy fanatic. And so an opportunity to go up there and make it to the Peanuts Museum would be something I would really like to see. In fact, I tweeted this morning about the spirituality of Snoopy and a neat article that's over in the Atlantic. So you can find out more articles like that, accessibility and otherwise, and some science fiction stuff in there, including the news that Jay missed. The new Doctor Who companion was announced.
Nope, did not miss it.
Yeah.
And that was your worst effort yet to try to get that in. You can contact...
Drink, everybody, drink. Yeah, that's right.
You can contact ATGuys@ATGuys.com and get all your cool accessories for your iPhone, Android, or Windows phone. Well, I guess some things would work with the Windows phone.
Well, if they're the same screen size, you know, who can stop them?
Well, the headsets and speakers and stuff, well, of course. So go to ATGuys for all that stuff.
That you didn't get the BlackBerry Priv, you know, sold well 4 months and it's getting marshmallow.
That's great. You can tweet us at Blind Bargains, feedback@blindbargains.com, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bearing with us this episode. We promise that not all of them will be like this, but for those of you who stayed in, please let us know what other news is coming out. You know, don't hesitate. If you think there's a story out there that we're not covering or we haven't, just go ahead and let us know. We absolutely adore your tips, your suggestions for where we should be appearing, all of that stuff. That actually helps us make a better show. So definitely throw that on out. And again, thanks to some of the people out there who make this possible, Scott Davert and his stories over at Blind Bargains and elsewhere, as well as our friends over Dean over at Top Tech and Apple Viz. That helps us make a better show because all together, we will pull it together and find news for you to listen to each week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.